Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to me with my plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she wouldn't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth?' To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.' People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them, but Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.'" Amen. This is the inspired word of God, and to his praise and glory always be given. Let's read again Luke chapter 18. Very often, you know, folk come, you know, these family services, the aim of them is to be simple, okay? And I think the Lord Jesus Christ was incredibly simple when he spoke. And so this morning, the object is not to entertain, not to while away some time, but to just treat very simply the most important issue of all. Because simplicity does not necessarily mean that something is not important. In fact, in life, the most important things in life are often the most simple. Let's read Luke chapter 18. Verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told a parable. Verse 14. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Can we have the first slide up? It's too much text in the box, but I couldn't figure out how to do it any other way. Imagine you're in your house and the postman comes to the door and two things come through the post, okay? One of them is like this. Nice little bag. Inside is a very nice present. And at the same time, through your letterbox, comes a letter. Now, this is the way I think. This is the way I always think. Because I'm a bit superficial that way. When things like this come through, and the postman brings them a letter, and something like this, what do you think I will open first? Any ideas? I knew someone would say that. What do you think I would open first? Yeah, that's good. I think you're paying me a compliment there. I think you are. Yeah. You think I'd open the card? What would you open first? The card. I knew this would happen. Well, what I would do is, and this is the absolute truth, given the choice, I always open the parcel first. Always. So, here it is. It would come. And I know this did not come from Tesco. Very, very expensive wrapper. In fact, I wonder, did my friend Mr. Sutherland send me this? It's so, so nice. Nicely wrapped. Not so sure about the tassel in the front. There's a bit of bling. So there we are. Ooh. Open it up. There's a box. And inside the box, there's money. There is 500 plus 500. How much does that make? 1,000 pounds in this box. Would anyone here like it? The problem is, it's Monopoly money. And so there we have this really nice box. And inside, really, it's worthless. I got something else, didn't I? I got this envelope. And inside this envelope is money. Real money. £20. Enough to wash two cars. Very nice. Another day, another dollar. Appearances can be deceptive. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The temple in the time of Jesus was just a big building like this. And that's where people went, not just every Saturday it was, that was their Sabbath, but every single day people would go to the temple. Two men. The first man looked a bit like that. What do you think he is? Yeah? It is not Abraham Lincoln. It has a certain look of Abraham Lincoln in a certain light with a certain imagination. No, and it's not Osama bin Laden either. Who? It is a great answer. That is a religious man. He's a very religious man. He's at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And he's got his Torah, his Old Testament, in his hand. And he's at the wall there. And have you ever seen the picture of people at the wall? And they go like that. Every time they mention God, they bow. So if you read the Old Testament, the Lord is there a lot of times. So they bow an awful lot. And they read really, really quickly. So there he is, an incredibly religious man. That's just like the story we read. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One of the men was a Pharisee who did lots of things right. There was another man come up to the temple. Now, those of you who are younger may not know about this man. Do you think that's a good man or a bad man? Bad man. How do you think he's a bad man? You're such a fundamentalist, yeah? He's smoking a cigar. Yeah. Well, that's a guy who used to be in the telly years before you were born, called Arthur Daly. And he was a little bit of a crook. You know, a little bit dishonest. In the story in the Bible, two men went up to the temple. Now, I wonder, indeed, this is the scandal of the gospel. The absolute scandal of the gospel is that we are going to find out which of these two men went to heaven. Next slide. This morning, we're just going to have 2 points. Number one is the wrong way to get to heaven. You see, in the passage, it says there that the Pharisees stood up, listen to what it says, and prayed about himself. Okay? It says, as God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now, tax collectors were a little bit like my friend there, Arthur Daly. They were a little bit dishonest. They were a little bit on the edge. But the religious man kept all the laws and all the rules. He even, twice a week, fasted. Now, do you know what fasting means? Obviously, I don't, but do you know what fasting, Harry? Not eating, right? Probably some of my favorite meals. This is a meal I have not had for 29 years. Fish fingers, chips, and tomato sauce. Okay? 29 years since I've had them. And I really, really would love fish fingers, chips, and tomato sauce. Imagine you really, really loved that. But once a week, you went without it. What's your favorite meal? Any of you guys got a favorite meal? You like Chinese? I like Chinese too. Sweet and sour chicken, Cantonese, number 382. Yeah, I just love it. Absolutely love Chinese. What's your favorite meal? I like the wraps. You like the wraps? I hope that's what you said. Wraps, yes. Like these Mexican things with, yeah, they're really, really good. Chocolate. You like chocolate? Okay. One more favorite food. Harry? Pardon? Paella? Yeah, I know it's Spanish. I'm talking to an educated man here, you know. You and me, we are the same. Paella, that is very sophisticated. Imagine, though, that twice a week, 2 days a week, you went without your favorite meal. And the thing is that you think that God is going to be impressed by that. Now, the Pharisee, you know, the Pharisees got a bad press, but they weren't all bad people, you know, in that sense. A lot of them were really sincere folk. And I guess it's like folk in this church. Don't make the mistake that our talk, our sermon this morning is just for the children. This is the most common mistake that is almost universally made. This is the one thing that is profoundly misunderstood about Christianity. The belief that it's all about us and what we do. Now, in this church this morning, in this community, there are some of the best people in Inverness. Looking at it on the internet, some of the best people wherever. We give to charity, We help folk out. We are incredibly, incredibly good. But we read here in the Bible that that man was not... The word they used there is justified. I wonder why he didn't get to heaven. Does anybody know what the pass mark is in an exam? Any ideas? It's quite a difficult question, but... Yeah, anybody know, to pass an exam, you've heard of percents. You get 10%, 40%, 50%, 75%. What's the pass mark in an exam? Any ideas? An A is better than a pass mark, but that's a great one. I'll come to that later. But just to scrape through, just to get past your exam, the pass mark is 20%. Well, actually, Free Church College Hebrew class, it was 20%. I jest not. Yeah? The pass mark is 50%. But to get to heaven, you know what the pass mark is? 100%. Absolute, total perfection. Now, I could say, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, are any of you folk absolutely, totally perfect? Don't even think about putting your hand up. I need 3 volunteers. Yep. Another one? Harry. Yeah. Up. Yep, you're allowed. Okay. Now, you better come over here. I've done a quick risk assessment and I've spotted a potential. Harry, I want you to touch the ceiling. Jump. Higher. Higher. Stand here if you want. Okay. It's not going to happen, is it? Now, I want you to lick your ear. Huh? You've got enough sense that you're not even going to try that. I want you to tell me what I'm thinking about just now. I thought you would say that, so I deliberately thought about something else. You may take your seat. You felt sorry for the children because they were asked to do what is essentially impossible. God demands absolute, total holiness and perfection to get to heaven. But like the kids, when we try and do that, we are asked to do something which is impossible. In this building this morning, there's a great variety of people. But there's a few things which make us all equals. One is that we're all going to die. And one is that we are all, every one of us, sinners. Nobody's better than anyone else. Nobody's made it. In fact, in this church, nobody, I think, is even near it. And we've got to be honest about this. We are broken people. We are messed up people. We sang it there, I think, in one of the hymns there. It struck me that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. So the wrong way to get to heaven is by morality and self-effort. Next slide. The right way to get to heaven. Well, there is a right way to get to heaven. And in this story, it was the tax collector got to heaven. The Bible speaks about another man there who was rich and he went away sad. There is only one way to get to heaven. Heaven's not like sky, you know. There's two ways to get to sky, at least. And it goes to the west coast a lot. You either go by what they call the south road or the north road. You can go along the Loch Ness, through Clooney, or you can go over the bridge to Rosher and Achnacheen and these places. Heaven's not like sky. There's only one way. And that way is through Jesus. Next slide. Let me know what these are. Close. Not CDs. They are DVDs. I brought along two DVDs. One is just out. It's called David's Life. Now, imagine there was a DVD made up of my life. Everything I did, everything I thought, and everything I said in the whole of my life. Can I tell you that if we showed it, it would be a horror movie, quadruple X, it would be shocking. That's my life. And you know, the day will come when, how can I put it in simple language, a DVD of everybody's life. Every single one of us. There are some of us know more about ourselves than others. There are some of us know the deepest, most secrets of our own hearts. One day, the Bible says it will be told from the mountaintops. Imagine if I says to Dave, Dave, put this DVD on of my life and put it up on the screens. In fact, this one says 5 hours of bonus loot. Whatever that contains, I don't know. If God looks at my life, I'm finished. I'm not going to go to heaven. But there's another DVD, and it's Jesus' life. Jesus' life and Jesus' death. Theologians among you may say, well, it's not about his life. Something called the passive obedience of Christ as well as his active. The life of Jesus and his death. And you know what happens? To become a Christian, you've got to say, Lord, my life is a mess. I'm going to turn from it. I'm going to ask for forgiveness for my sins. And I want to depend on your life. That's how you become a Christian. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see our life. He sees Jesus' life. It's so simple, isn't it? It is so simple to become a Christian. We say sorry for our sins, we turn from our sins, and we trust totally in Jesus. Boys and girls, that's what you've been told in Sunday school all year. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're told in church. This is the most important issue facing us. Well, this morning's been a very simple sermon. I probably can't make it any more simple. But don't let that hide the significance of it. decisions? Are you going to choose to accept Jesus or reject him? Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us together. We bless you and praise you for our time today. Lord, these are simple things. Give us the spirit, not of a Pharisee, but of a tax collector. Amen.